Well, the federal government released the long-awaited business plan for the National Broadband Network yesterday. The government says that the business plan proves that the NBN is economically viable, and as expected, the federal opposition maintains that the NBN is too expensive and that the government should dump the plan altogether. Back in September, media analyst and media economist Peter Cox described the NBN as all smoke and mirrors. He's had a chance to digest the business plan, and Peter Cox joins us this morning. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
Now, can you give us your initial assessment of the business case for the NBN based on what the government released yesterday?
This is the scariest business plan I've ever seen in my life. It truly is. When we do business plans, we normally project out 3 years, and then we might make a rough estimate for the following 2 years. That's 5 years out. This business plan requires it to go for 30 years before it can get its investment return.
But Peter, isn't that kind of the cost of taking on such a big infrastructure project as that? I mean, this is not a normal business, is it?
Of course it's a normal business. Even more scary about it being a normal business is that the facility itself that's being supplied is already being supplied. The only question is the speed at which it comes. So if this was a mining project, building an infrastructure of a railway system, ports, any other major one that you think of in Australia, power, electricity, etc., you wouldn't remotely think of trying to go for a 30 years before you get a return. After 10 years of this plan, it's going to be $36 billion in the red, right? After 10 years, they're going to spend $35 billion on CapEx, another $21 million on operating expenses, and that's 57. They will have only got $20 billion in revenue. They're going to be $36 billion. When a business plan relies on the future, we call that a hockey stick. You know what a hockey stick looks like?
I do know what a hockey stick looks like, yep.
Yeah. Well, this hockey stick is the most amazing hockey stick we've seen.
All right. Well, look, let's talk about some of these specific findings. I mean, the document says that the entry-level cost of a broadband package will be between $50 and $60 per month for the average consumer. I mean, for faster broadband, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
Well, at the moment, well, that's going to be to get the minimum, which is 12 megabits, which we can get at the moment. At the moment, you're buying that for somewhere between $39 and $49. So I don't have a great problem as far as that is. The big problem is, do people want to pay the higher price to get the 100 megs? And experience would so far show that they don't want to do that. Either in Melbourne, where they've got where Telstra have an HFC system running in Melbourne past nearly a million homes, people have shown they don't want to pay for it, they don't want to have that, they actually want the minimum system.
But over time, I mean, that's surely going to change when there's more internet TV and video on demand. People are going to want faster speeds. Isn't this a question of just, the market for these services maturing?
Well, no, because if they want to have video, there will be more video, and that's another problem with it. It does rely very heavily on people wanting to have video. But what people want is they want more video for less money. The trend throughout the world in communications is that as a percentage of GDP, it's not particularly going up, or household disposable income. If they're going to spend more on this in their household disposable income, then they have to spend less on either their rent or their food or the other basics that come out of it. And that's not likely to happen. So all over the world, the telcos are in this great bind where people want more speed, but they want to pay less and less for it.
Right, okay. And what do you make of the projection of a 70% uptake for NBN then? I mean, is that a modest projection, or do you think that's too high?
Well, that's a funny one, because I've been actually checking. They say that in the first year there's 10 million homes in Australia. According to the ABS, there's more like 8.5 million homes in Australia. According to the free-to-air operators, there's 8 million homes in Australia. So they seem to come up with a lot more homes in Australia than what the television industry or the government body, the ABS, come up with. Then they say that there's 10% of homes and business in Australia that are unoccupied. Well, I don't know if the free-to-air networks in Australia have ever told us that perhaps there's 10% of their base that is actually unoccupied. And I think that sounds to me like a far too high a figure. 70%, yes, what happens with Optus? None of this handles the fact that Optus have an HFC system running in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane that for a relatively low amount can be upgraded, as Telstra has already done with experiments, provide these sorts of speeds, and then cherry pick. We know Telstra won't be allowed to because Telstra gets taken out of the equation.
Okay. Well, some very strident criticisms there, Peter Cox. So thank you very much for joining us this morning.
There's one really important one you haven't left out, you've left out, though.
All right. Well, give it to us quickly because we do want to talk to the minister, Peter.
Go.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to live with the mystery of knowing what final point Peter Cox wanted to make. Peter Cox is the media economist and analyst with Cox Media, and he joined us this morning from his home. The Minister for Communications, Stephen Conroy, also joins us on Summer Breakfast this morning. He said that the network will make Australia a world leader when it comes to lower prices and faster connections. Good morning, Minister.
Good morning, Julian. How are you today?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Obviously, you got a pretty strident critic there. We'll move to the substance in a second. But I did want to ask you about the timing of the release of this document. I mean, the government had, from the NBN, a 400-page document while Parliament was still in session, and then it released a summary. Now, right before Christmas, the business plan comes out. It's not a big news time of the year. Is this more about releasing this document for PR before the holidays than a sound business plan?
Look, not at all. What happened was, it was the point we made consistently in the debate about why we didn't release the original plan. There were some very major decisions that the ACCC were going to give us advice about. And depending on the outcome of deliberations over that advice, there would be substantial changes and a reworking of the business case. And that's exactly what happened. So the NBN Co. had to go back after the ACCC and Cabinet decided to go down a different path to the NBN's original proposition. So they reworked the business case and they gave it to us last week.
But you guys
had intended. We had intended to release it on Friday, and we had everything in place. But with the Christmas Island tragedy, we postponed the release just because of the focus, and we didn't believe we should be trying to promote a government policy in the middle of that tragedy. So we on Monday.
Obviously, no one would criticise that delay over the last few days. But, I mean, you guys are all used to working Kevin Rudd business hours, aren't you? If you wanted to turn this round, this plan could have been released while Parliament was in session, and wouldn't it have got more scrutiny if that had occurred?
No, you've again just made the same mistake, Julian. The ACCC only gave us advice on November the 30th. That was after Parliament rose. So we weren't in a position, and the NBN company weren't in a position to rework their numbers until after they got the advice from the ACCC, and more importantly, Cabinet then decided which path to go down. Mm. The Cabinet then met after it received the information on the November the 30th from the ACCC, and then those decisions were given to the NBN Co, who went away and reworked their numbers, and they gave us their final draft Wednesday night. We'd intended, as I said, to release it on Friday, but the tragedy that unfolded on Christmas Island meant that we just didn't believe it was the right.
Well, let's look at the substance of the plan then.
Well, I'd like to address a few of Peter's comments.
Give us your response then.
Incorrect.
Okay, all right. Well, tell us why you think those things are incorrect.
Well, look, I'll reveal the mystery for your readers. We made a quick reference at the end about wireless. We make a very straightforward assumption that about 13% of homes will ultimately say we don't want the copper and we don't want the fibre. We'll be wireless-only homes. So that's about a doubling of the number that exists at the moment. That's 13%. The estimate of 12% is a straightforward estimate of that's how many homes on average aren't occupied. So that's 25%. And then, again, he made reference. What about Optus, he said? Well, 4%, the remaining 4 to 5% to make up 30 is the Optus HFC cable. So we've taken account of all of those factors, and when we say the 70% is what we expect take up. Now, 70% means that every single home that wants a fixed line other than an Optus customer is going to be using the national broadband network because we're closing the copper network down. Now, people don't have to take the NBN service. So the 70% take up is what we get after you take out vacant homes, you take out wireless only homes, and you take out the 4 to 5% of Optus HFC customers. Mm. So that's where that 30% figure comes from. And
all right.
He was jumping up and down as if it was some sort of revelation.
Okay.
That's
exactly what
it is.
Okay, well, what about the cherry-picking threat? The plan says that competition for broadband services in greenfield sites would endanger the government's return on investment. Are you comfortable with having to enforce a monopoly
to make this service work? We announced on day one that we were going to build a wholesale-only open-access monopoly. If you want to have a cross-subsidy, if you want to work on the principle that the market can't deliver ubiquitous broadband right across this country, and that was the experience of 11 and a half years under the Howard government. Nobody stepped up and built a network like this for everybody. You have to work on the basis of a cross-subsidy, which means ultimately people in the city pay a little bit more to ensure that everybody else out in the regional and rural Australia get the access to the same quality of service. So if you're building a network that's based on a cross-subsidy and you allow people to come into the richer suburbs of Australia because they simply want to compete in the rich suburbs, you actually reduce substantially the capacity to provide that cross-subsidy to the regional and rural areas of Australia. So we are very comfortable. We've said from day one this will be a cross-subsidy.
Okay.
We've said from day one that it will be a
monopoly. You've made that point, Minister. The Financial Review says that the business plan won't stack up without Telstra's cooperation. You've obviously got a heads of agreement in place. But what happens if Telstra's negotiations with the government don't produce a final agreement?
Well, the NBN Co and Telstra reached a heads of agreement, a non-binding heads of agreement. They've been working furiously now that legislation has been passed. One of the things that held up this final negotiation was Malcolm Turnbull and Tony Abbott kept blocking the bill for nearly a year. Nearly a year it took us to get the bill passed by the Senate. And so once that was completed in the last few days of Parliament in November, that has meant that NBN Co and Telstra are absolutely beavering away to try and finalise this before Christmas. I think they haven't quite made that. They're reconvening in the first week of January to try and finalise it. But the delay has been caused because the legislation necessary to give power to the deal was blocked for nearly a year in the Senate.
All right. Well, finally, and just briefly, Senator Conroy, Malcolm Turnbull says that the biggest omission in the plan is that there's no cost-benefit analysis. Is there no cost-benefit analysis because a cost-benefit analysis doesn't stack up?
Well, the premise of Malcolm's call for a cost-benefit analysis usually works like this. With a piece of infrastructure, it'll never make money. It'll lose money in the actual finances of the project. So what you do is you say, what are all the benefits to the whole country in education, in health, in aged care, in veterans care, in sustainable environmental policy?
Which then becomes inherently speculative, doesn't it?
Well, it's inherently speculative, and with a transformative technology like fibre to the home, it's very difficult to calculate those things. But you assume here's all the benefits, and they're a big plus. And that big plus will outweigh the loss, the negative of the costs. But what this has shown, what the business case shows, which reinforces what the McKinsey's business case showed, was that taxpayers get all of their money back plus interest. And this is, so it's a plus on the financial side and it's a plus on the benefit side.
All right, Minister. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. But thank you very much for joining us this morning and all the best for the holidays.
No worries.
Stephen Conroy, the Minister for Communications there, and the government's new, well, the government releasing the NBN's business plan. On Radio National Summer Breakfast, it is 15 minutes to 8.